Welcome to episode 154 of Practical Defense, Hit and Runs. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Addicks. Well, I hope everyone had a great holiday. Mine was certainly a lot of fun, but it's unfortunately time to get back to business. This week, we're going to take a look at hit and runs and what you can do to minimize your exposure to them, and what you should do if you find yourself the victim of one. But before we get into the topic, we, of course, have a few announcements. The Masada Yup Seminar is fast approaching, and it's less than a month away. The seminar is the 29th and 30th of January, and we're holding it at a nice central location of the DoubleTree Hotel by LAX. This seminar will help keep you out of jail if you are ever in the position to use force to defend yourself against a criminal attack. The lessons taught in this 20-hour course can be applied to empty-handed defenses, less than lethal defense, and lethal force. If you ever plan on defending yourself, you need to understand what to do, what you can do, and how you should explain the events afterwards. Masada Yup is one of the nation's leading experts on this topic. It is not something that you should miss. The URL to sign up is alexhaddocks.com/mag20. That's M-A-G-2-0. Mass is a legend in the self-defense industry. He has a regular segment on Personal Defense TV with Tom Gresham. He has written innumerable books, columns, and articles, and even had an article published in the November issue of Black Belt Magazine. Seriously, there is no better expert on this subject than Mass. And switching topics a bit, I have a bit of rather embarrassing errata to bring up about episode 152 when I was talking about my shoulder injury. As a few astute listeners brought to my attention, I mistakenly called the arm bone that fits into the shoulder joint the femur. In fact, it is the humerus, but it's not funny. I knew it. My notes reflected it, and as I was chatting away, I misspoke. This is particularly embarrassing because I was a biology major at one point and even thinking about going to medical school. My father's a physician, my mother's a nurse, and I spent 8 years writing for a biotech company. So yes, I do know the difference between the leg and arm bones, and I just blathered out the wrong name. When I discovered the error, I was so embarrassed that I seriously considered re-recording the whole episode. Oh well. Correction made. In great news, Jim Wagner has joined the Palladium Education, Inc. advisory board. Jim, among other things, was a corrections officer, a police and SWAT officer, a federal air marshal, a reserve deputy in the Orange County Sheriff's Department, and an international military and law enforcement instructor. Jim's considerable experience is a great asset to Palladium and brings a law enforcement perspective to our workplace violence prevention programs. We are honored to have him on our advisory board. And with that, we'll be right back with our discussion on hit and runs.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
Welcome back. This week, we're talking about hit-and-run vehicle collisions. The reason I'm bringing this up is that over the past few months, I've seen an uncommonly large number of police reports related to hit-and-runs resulting in deaths. According to the Insurance Information Institute, 11% of accidents are hit and runs, and most are vehicle-on-vehicle. For the purposes of this discussion, I'm focusing specifically on vehicle-against-pedestrian accidents. I'll start by reading the California Vehicle Code, and these codes will be different depending upon the state in which you live. This is 2001. The driver of any vehicle involved in an accident resulting in injury to any person other than himself or herself, or in the death of any person, shall immediately stop the vehicle at the scene of the accident and shall fulfill the requirements of Sections 2003 and 2004. Section 2003 states, the driver shall also render to any person injured in the accident reasonable assistance, including transporting or making arrangements for transporting any injured person to a physician, surgeon, or hospital for medical or surgical treatment if it is apparent that treatment is necessary or if that transportation is requested by an injured person. So why do people run away after an accident? Panic, mostly. The shock of the incident, the thought that he or she might have seriously hurt or killed someone, might be enough to make them lose rational thought and go with the flight reaction. Sometimes he or she knows a crime's been committed because the driver is drunk or intoxicated, and that fear causes a flight reaction. The trouble is, the truth will never be known unless that person is caught. The police reports I've read come in two flavors when it comes to these types of incidents. People walking across the street are the primary victims of these incidents, and the next type is people getting out of their cars. Another statistic is that most of these incidents happen at night when visibility is low. This tells me that the hit and runs are not intentional, but accidental, which is of no consolation to the family of the victim. It also increases the likelihood of the driver being intoxicated. These are both statements of pure speculation, as it's impossible to document the reasons for an accident if the driver fails to stop. Here are some quick summaries of three reports from just the past few weeks. December 2, 2010, at about 9:17 p.m., a 60-year-old woman is struck and killed getting out of her car. December 5, 2010, around 6:50 p.m., a 57-year-old man was struck and killed crossing the street. On November 30th at 8:35 p.m., a 32-year-old man was crossing in a crosswalk and was hit by a car. In this case, the victim was thrown into traffic and struck by two other vehicles as well. None of the cars stopped to identify themselves or render aid. Yes, you heard correctly. The victim was hit by three cars and all three fled the scene of the accident. Let's move on to what you can do. If you're the victim, there really probably isn't very much. You'll be too busy trying to stay alive after being hit by a large metal object moving at speed. However, there are things you can do as a witness. First, if you see the event, do not expect the driver to stop. Sometimes the vehicle will screech to a halt just after the impact and pause. That is your window of opportunity to get a description of the vehicle and the driver. Use it. Record the color, make, and model of the vehicle. If you can, get the license plate number. After the pause, the driver will try to flee the scene. If it is safe for you to do so, follow the vehicle until you can get the license plate number and note the direction in which the vehicle fled. Do not put yourself at risk or break any laws if you follow the driver. This person is already rattled, and if he or she thinks you are following, then this person might do something really stupid and cause more damage and hurt more people. If the driver starts acting irrationally, back the heck off. The make, model, color, and license plate number will be enough for the police to nail this person. After you get the information, call the police and return to the scene of the accident and give your information to the police when they show up. The key is to do what you can within reasonable and personal safety and be a good witness. Nothing more. You should be a good citizen, but also remember that you are not the police. Your best protection is awareness and avoidance. Two of my favorite words. An unprotected pedestrian is going to lose against a big metal vehicle. You can never assume that the car or truck is going to stop. I have seen several accidents caused by people just not paying attention and running stop signs or stoplights. In at least three cases, the drivers never even hit the brakes. It was full on, full speed, drive right through the light and into cross traffic. One time, the driver made it through without hitting anyone. It was pure luck and looked like something out of the movies. The other two times, it was a complete mess. If there had been a pedestrian in the crosswalk, there would have been no chance for survival. A while back, and I can't find the exact message now, I received an email from a listener to the show. He told me that his awareness had saved his life. He was crossing the street in a crosswalk, and a truck turning left almost hit him. Because he was aware, he was able to jump out of the way and avoid being run over. Even still, the truck was so close he almost punched the driver in the face as he drove by. It was his fight instinct that was kicking in. As a teenager, I was driving home from a swim practice when I saw the result of a car on pedestrian accident. It was around 8 p.m., and I probably drove by within minutes of the event taking place. I saw a man lying in the middle of the street, in the middle of a crosswalk, and there was blood everywhere. People had pulled over and were just getting out of the cars to render aid. I don't know if the driver had stopped or not, but it was a horrible, horrible thing to see. You need to teach your children that crosswalks are not magical barriers. They are just lines painted on the street. Kids and teenagers think they can survive anything. You know, I'd tell my friends to watch out, and the response would be, well, if they hit me, I'll just sue them for lots of money. No. If they hit you, you'll be dead or in a wheelchair, and that's only if they stop and you can identify them. I was the witness to what might have been a hit and run a few years back. A woman was preparing to cross the street while a truck was preparing to turn right. You can see where this is going. When the light turned green, she stepped off the curb as the truck turned. It might have been a hit and run based on the reaction of the driver and the pedestrian. The driver stopped and paused. He checked his mirrors and then drove off at high speed with a panicked look on his face. The woman gave the driver a look that could kill and was rubbing her elbow. She continued crossing the street, rubbing her elbow, glaring after the driver. I didn't see him hit her, but she was certainly pissed at him for something. You should never assume a driver sees you or will stop. You might have a reasonable assumption of safety when you're on the sidewalk and a few steps back from the curb. I can't tell you how many times I've seen cars, buses, and trucks jump the curb when making a right-hand turn, so I mean it when I say a few steps back from the curb. Also, remember that the moment you step onto the asphalt, you can trust no one and make no assumptions. I brought up this point before, but I will say it again. Do not load your children from the street side of your car. I can't tell you how many times I've seen parents leading their children off the curb and onto the street to get into the car. I've seen this with infants and up to 3- and 4-year-olds. Yeah, sure, there might be more room on the street side, but that space is reserved for the cars driving by you at speed, not for your children. Load your children from the sidewalk side of the car. If you have more than one child, make them crawl over the seats to the driver's side of the car. If you need to strap them in, make them go through the car and then you, as the adult, go around and open the door to secure the belt. The child should never set foot on the street. That way, if some idiot gets too close or swipes you, it is only you and not the child that is put at risk. In closing, I will say that I have been the victim of hit and runs multiple times. Now, it's always been vehicle against vehicle and not my person. I drive a full-sized pickup truck, and every so often I find new dents and scrapes on the right rear fender of my truck. Occasionally, I find a foot-long rubber streak along the running board. What I think happens is that these idiots are backing out of the space next to me and turn too sharply and run their left front fender into the right rear fender of my truck. I can point to at least 6 specific dents in that area of my truck that I didn't put there. No one has ever left me a note. So that's at least 6 cases of hit and run that I have experienced. There are probably more, but that area is getting so messed up that it's becoming hard to tell if there are new ones unless they're pretty big. And I'm going to stop now before I have to bleep myself on my own show.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.
So, when it comes to hit and runs, do not trust other drivers. Maintain your awareness and do not expect the car to stop. Assume they don't see you. Be a good witness. Collect as much information as you can about the driver and report it to the police. Do not go above and beyond to gather information. Do what you can, but do not put yourself or others at risk. Your best protection is awareness and avoidance. Crosswalks are not magical barriers. They are just lines painted on the street. Right of way doesn't mean crap when you're in a hospital bed or a coffin. Do not load children from the street side of the car. Always load children from the sidewalk, even if they have to climb over the seats. And I'll say it again, Your best protection is awareness and avoidance. And a quick note before we end the show. There are still a few days left on the special donation for a signed copy of Julie Green's book, Defy the Bad Guy, Powerful Practical Self-Defense Strategies for Every Woman. For any single donation over $20 through the month of December 2010, the supporter will receive a signed copy of Julie's book with a custom inscription. When you complete the form, be certain to include your mailing address and any custom note that you would like. The URL is alexhaddix.com/defy. And a special thanks to everyone who has already sent in their donations. I know some people have already received their copies, and a few more are going out soon. If you have any tips you would like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com.